and welcome to the T3 podcast. iPod, iPad, I quit. Steve Jobs steps down as CEO of Apple. We'll look back at his career spanning 35 years at Apple, give or take a little break, and look ahead to a future without black turtlenecks and straight-cut Wranglers. Other stuff this week. The great touchpad sell-off of HP. I've just been shot. HP flogs its now ditched WebOS tablet. More woe for Samsung in courts on the continent. Try saying that when you've had a few. And PlayStation's getting a new home, or at least a good spring clean of the old one. All that. And anything else we care to dwell upon with my co-hosts, the lovely Ree Morgan, and the man who wasn't here last week because he was in Hong Kong. Mm. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell.
Welcome back, welcome. Duncan.
Good to be back.
Ah. Good to have you, actually.
You brought us all presents?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll detail them to you after the end of this podcast.
That's right, lovely. Okay. We've got me there.
It's always good to not be in a kind of repressive communist state.
And I see, Duncan, you're packing a piece this week.
Well,
he's always packing a piece, Dan.
No, actually, listeners, relax, listeners.
Don't point
what
that,
Dan means
don't point
is
that thing at me.
I've bought in a plastic handgun, which came into the office
just for fun.
Tasteful.
Well, it's quite good. It's an imitation. Oops. Ooh. Desert Eagle 45 Magnum.
Right.
And it doesn't make a very loud noise, but it does have a very. So this it's doesn't work. This doesn't work audially at all.
Okay. It's got good action.
It's got a good recoil action. Look.
Oh,
see that? See the way that kicks?
Yeah.
Ree actually picked it up and fired it the other day, and she actually went, ooh!
It's
like
horrible.
Like it was such a massive kick, it had broken her arm.
Because I don't like it.
Does it just make that noise, or does it fire little yellow pellets or something?
No, it doesn't do anything, and I don't understand why it's been...
It seems a lot louder on your mic.
That's obviously
also,
what you have to do. You have
I've
to fire it into a mic.
Into a microphone. There we go.
Just because I thought it would fire something, so I was just scared.
Disappointing, yet... I think reassuring.
Anyway. You won't believe how manly I feel whilst holding that. It is true. You know, like what they say about guns and that. You just feel, although it's just a plastic.
Guns.
Yeah, it's just a plastic toy. Just the shape and heft of it just make me feel more, I don't know, virile.
I think you should carry it at
so,
all times.
So watch out.
Guys. I think this is what people in Libya are discovering at the moment.
Well, that's what I've got it for. It's in...
There's been some comedy firing. Have you know, like...
If you fire a bullet up in the air,
what
it will come down.
What is comedy firing?
Comedy firing is when you get an AK-47 and you just hold down the trigger while waving the gun manically.
In a kind of celebratory sort of way.
But when that's the firing into the air, but even returning fire, it's just been the most like comedic action ever.
It's a very casual war.
Yeah.
It is Ramadan at the moment.
It looks like they're really not actually firing at anything. But, you know, clearly there are targets, but...
I think they're just doing it for the cameras. I think maybe there's some real war going on. Like away from the cameras, but they're being followed around by the BBC, and they just feel like they ought to fire some rounds off every now and then.
Good.
They're all dressed in like their best clothes. They're all wearing like really nice designer jeans
and
like trainers.
They want to look good.
They're kind of like they're doing the Double Dragon mints down the street, and they're just periodically firing off a few rounds at nothing.
It's good when we cover
all war should be like that.
It's
really
It's good when we cover the big
highbrow.
Issues. We cover the big issues on the podcast. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, Duncan, anything irk you over the last fortnight?
Oh, we have to talk about technology now.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to mention in passing because obviously I wasn't here last week, and you talked two of you very knowledgeably about this
always.
Already. So I'm not going to labour the point.
No.
But some of the coverage of like HP pulling out of hardware, blah, 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 and WebOS not being, as a result, being ditched.
Did you just fall asleep, Dan?
just switched off there for
it
a
was so, like, people actually saying, oh, it's so tragic, you know, it could have been a great operating system, but now it goes into the, you know, it's like saying, oh, well, you know, this child, he could have been a great brain surgeon, a great political leader, but now he's like hooked on glue or whatever. You know, that's tragic. An operating system that you put out and it's not quite as successful as you hoped it was going to be.
I think we shared a little tear.
We did, actually. Yeah. Just like
you sounded
single tear.
Borderline sarcastic while I was talking about how sad it was. It reminds me of when you may remember Hearsay, the pop group Hearsay. They were the first ones to be produced by like the pop
idol.
Factor.
What was it?
I believe that's the young person's program that they watch. And they weren't, they had a
pop stars.
They sort of had a load of hype and then they vanished forever. But then people started saying that, like Kim Marsh, she was going to make a comeback single. And everybody, for some reason, was like, oh, Kim Marsh has returned. She returns. There shall be success. For after Hearsay, there is life after Hearsay. The WebOS thing kind of reminds me of that. It's like when HP bought it, it was like, oh, it's flopped completely. But now this wonderful OS, you know, it does have a chance. And now it's like, well, HP have dropped it, but it could be licensed to other manufacturers. And then our wonderful, It's like, oh.
I can almost guarantee that across the several million blogs on all the television channels and all the newspapers, I don't think anyone else will have compared WebOS to Kim Marsh.
So, that's true.
Yeah, that is a very original analysis.
And she is now on Coronation Street. But what does that mean for WebOS? What is WebOS's Coronation Street?
I think it's more a different analogy, which is WebOS will end up more like Kerry Katona with ever more desperate comebacks, followed by ever more complete sort of collapses.
And she makes different partners, and one's a drug dealer, you know, who wasn't very trustworthy. That could have been HP.
That is a good No, it's more like the analogy is more like the hardware it's been put in, like the Palm Pixie or something. That's like Kerry Katona's useless boyfriend du jour. Although I'm not saying that her current boyfriend is useless. I'm sure he's marvelous.
She hasn't got one. She said she's single.
As is WebOS.
I can safely
say
that.
He has no device.
I've been watching Big Brother's Celebrity Big Brother religiously.
Yeah. So basically WebOS is like a kind of very, very minor celebrity.
There we go.
That is constantly checking into rehab. But it's not like Amy Winehouse, where it was a tragedy where she passed away because she actually made some quite good records. It is more like Kerry Katona in that it's never achieved anything and quite possibly it never will.
Good.
But we're all meant to feel sad because it isn't doing as well as it might have.
That's the kind of analysis that people tune in for.
Yep.
On then to our top story.
And that's the end of the show.
That's all we've got time for.
Yeah, nothing else happened this week. There really is no other story, actually. It's the departure of Steve Jobs as CEO of Apple. He'll stay on as chairman, this after surviving pancreatic cancer and a liver transplant, and on the back of extended medical leave that he's been taking since January. Guys, reaction to this?
Well,
it's not a massive shock, is it? It's a sad, you know, it's a sad time that he's done wonders, obviously, at Apple. But it's also exciting to see what they're going to do next.
That's a very upbeat way of looking at it.
That is. That's the most upbeat way I've heard. I mean,
the first thing I thought, well, my first two reactions were, firstly, Tim Cook looks quite like the BFG from Roald Dahl's series of children books. Oh, no, it wasn't a series, was it?
No, it's just the one book.
From Roald Dahl's one children's book called The BFG.
Mm.
And the second one was, what does the chairman do?
I don't think the chairman does much, does he?
I think it's a ceremonial role. Yeah. I mean, lots of people...
Is it like the mayor?
Lots of people.
The Lord Mayor, not the mayor, not Boris Johnson, the mayor, like the Lord Mayor of London, the guy in the triangular hat.
Yeah, I think he's it's a role where he could still, if he's well enough, have some, you know, input control. Well,
yeah,
not control, but input. But also a role that he doesn't have to do anything in.
Yeah,
I think that's the key.
He's just keeping his finger in.
Yeah, CEO is shareholder sensitive, isn't it? You know, if the CEO falls ill. I mean, we've seen the share prices went down just from him quitting. You know, if the chairman falls ill, it's not good. Yeah. You know,
it was amazing how much. I did read that billions had been wiped off of Apple's admittedly massively inflated nominal value.
This was based
by the fact that he was stepping down.
Yeah, because I was in the newsroom when this happened. So he stepped down, and within minutes, the shares had plummeted 5%.
No, that always happens. But have they now corrected
this
back
is it.
Up again?
So what I was going to say is, but by the morning, when the shares actually opened, you know, it was like they were down 2%, then it was 1.5%. They're not.
But the thing
they
is,
haven't plummeted.
But that's why you get such. I mean, this is what journalists love about Apple. Is it? You're always talking about such big numbers since they've entered their kind of imperial phase of having more money than the American government, I believe they were said to have.
They're the most, the most richest company now.
The most richest.
The most richest. That's richer.
They're the most richerest.
It's valuable. Oh, that's going to be on what we got wrong now.
Anyway, because they're worth like, you know, quite literally bazillions of dollars, if they lose like 1% of the value of their share price, that's, you know, frillions.
Yeah, but based on the gains that have been made since Steve Jobs founded the company, I think we can take a 1% hit.
And then, also, you know, the other thing always to bear in mind with the stock market is what they're meant to be worth is a ridiculous made-up number pulled out of the asses of lots of kind
lots
of gullible stroke kind of self-interested investors. Mm. Yeah.
Well paid.
Yeah. Well, that's why they're well paid. They, you know,
they can pull numbers out of their asses.
They're talking about frillions.
It's a talent.
We just get paid mere millions to do this podcast, they're talking about frillions. Yeah.
I have to say, when the news came through, I know what you're saying, Ree, but I was surprised in that it did come a bit out of the blue in terms of, you know, there wasn't there hasn't been, you know, like waves of speculation.
Yeah.
And I think it was quite Steve Jobs and quite Apple to do it this way, which is not to let speculation mount.
No,
go, right, here we go.
Yeah.
And also they've not said, you know, specifically why. I mean, no. I don't think we all know why. But
that's what any big corporation would do. But
yeah, but in terms of his, you know, his actual condition and how he is, and you know, his private life, that is, you know, that's not being dragged out. And
well, he's
so
a
on,
private
you know.
Man, isn't he?
Yeah, and he has every right to be.
I think most people are pretty private about terminal illnesses.
I would imagine.
No, but I mean, generally, you don't know a lot about his. Private life.
Now,
I like Steve Ballmer. We know everything about him. Yeah. He's like Kerry Katona.
Yeah.
Never off the telly.
We have been going through the archives of some of the great moments.
Can we lighten it up a bit? Can we stop talking about illness?
Yeah, let's drop the illness line. Let's go back to all the good stuff he's been doing. So this is our little 3-minute tribute to Mr. John.
Good morning. Thanks for coming. Thank you. We've been working on this product for a while, and I just didn't want to miss today. So thank you for having me.
The Apple II in 1977 and the IBM PC in 1981. Today, 1 year after Lisa, we are introducing the third industry milestone product, Macintosh.
God, look at that. Look, I'm on television.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello, I'm Macintosh. It sure is great to get out of that bag. It is with considerable pride that I introduce a man who's been like a father to me, Steve Jobs.
Is it your goal to overtake the PC in market share?
I can tell you what our goal is. Our goal is to make the best personal computers in the world and to make products we are proud to sell and would recommend to our family and friends. And we want to do that at the lowest prices we can. But I have to tell you, there's some stuff in our industry that we wouldn't be proud to ship, that we wouldn't be proud to recommend to our family and friends. And we can't do it. We just can't ship junk.
Oh, we've got cards and letters from lots of people that say that iTunes is their favorite app on Windows.
I think here at D, actually...
It's like giving a glass of ice water to somebody in hell.
I am saddened, not by Microsoft's success. I have no problem with their success. They've earned their success, for the most part. I have a problem with the fact that they just make really third-rate products.
Well, today, I'm incredibly pleased to introduce iMac, our consumer product. We are targeting this for the number one use that consumers tell us they want a computer for, which is to get on the internet, simply and fast. And we are calling it iPhone. Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone. Let's take a look at this market. My clicker's not working. You know, when I was in high school, Steve Wozniak and I, mostly Steve, made this little device called a TV jammer. And it was this little oscillator that put out frequencies that would screw up the TV. And Woz would have it in his pocket, and we'd go into like a dorm at Berkeley where he was going to school, and a bunch of folks would be watching like Star Trek, and he'd screw up the TV, and somebody would go up to fix it, and just as they had their foot off the ground, he'd turn it back on. And if they put their foot back on the ground, he'd screw up the TV again. And within 5 minutes, he'd have somebody like this for the rest of the Star Trek episode. Today, we're introducing a third kind of notebook. It's called the MacBook Air. Now, what is the MacBook Air? In a sentence, it's the world's thinnest notebook. It just all works.
Woo! Mr. Steve Jobs.
It just all works.
Pretty good.
It all works.
He's a feisty guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's quite a comic with that TV jammer.
Crazy.
Ooh, the laughs they must have had in high school.
It's great. Right near the beginning, you had that woman who's like, hey, gee, I'm on TV. And that was him being like mic'd up by some, you know, guys in a TV studio. I mean, I don't know whether it was his first TV appearance or not, but it was obviously quite a novelty for him to be on television.
Yeah.
Is it? He was slagging off Windows. Well, not directly slagging off, but kind of slagging off.
Through a bit of a bitter stage.
The junk stuff.
But wasn't that in front of Bill Gates? You were saying
the there was a few clips there. One was him in a press conference saying, you know, we won't ship junk, and there's a lot of allusions to kind of PCs. There's another bit where he's saying he's at the All Things Digital conference, and we've got a bit from Bill Gates on that, and that was kind of a when the ice thawed between the two of them, both on stage, and this kind of nonsense. It was like the, it was almost, you know, it was Wenger and Alex Ferguson shaking hands. You know, it was that moment because, you know, a lot of it had kind of been like this ridiculous arguing through the media.
Yeah.
You know? And we heard a clip of him, you know, another clip of him. And again, that was just an interview with him and, you know.
So what happened?
Got a bit nasty.
Then they.
No, they just seemed to.
They became friends.
They admitted that they really loved each other.
Yeah.
Bill Gates left.
Got a room.
Just went.
They just understood that they weren't necessarily enemies. That they just both done big things. You know.
I don't think I agree with that. To be honest, from what my very very loose understanding of the way Steve Jobs does it, I think he probably does see Bill Gates as an enemy in a quite real sense. Not meaning that he wants to kill him or anything like that, but
he does seem very driven, doesn't he?
He seems like a person like myself,
only
a slightly more successful version of myself.
Slightly more.
But he's basically motivated by being irritated by things.
Horses
and
for courses.
Look,
I mean, don't get me wrong, there are two people who have very different philosophies, but I think they've just learned to respect each other. I think, you know, maybe if you
I reckon Steve still hates Bill. And
if you're not along for this world, maybe you mellow.
Given up on it. My favourite bit, to be honest, out of that entire incredibly long montage of audio clips.
Well, there's a lot
He's done a lot.
Well, I'm more criticising the montage than Steve Jobs. Was the bit that sounded like Stephen Hawking drunk.
That was the unveiling.
He's like a father to me.
I'm so
Steve
glad
Jobs.
To be out of the bag.
That was the great. That was the first.
And we all heard that so many times. Yeah. Number of times I've had people tell me that.
The first Macintosh unveiling, which was a big moment.
Unbagging, presumably.
But within it, within
from what the Macintosh itself was saying.
Yeah, within a year of that, he was kicked out of Apple.
Well, there was some sort of falling out, wasn't there? Because didn't he hire some guy from Pepsi, and he said something like, supposedly, oh, do you want to change the world or do you want to sell brown coloured water with sugar in it for the rest of your life? Come and be our sort of CEO or whatever it was at the time. And then the guy came in and promptly fired him. Perhaps in a slightly sort of, that's what you get for patronising my last job, mate. All right.
I mean, the falling out and the
to be fair,
together.
It did immediately go tits up for Apple when Steve Jobs left. And then all came back together again when he came back, but, you know.
Well, it was interesting how he came back, because he basically left, set up a company that made ridiculously expensive but very, very good computers. And Apple went, eventually, they didn't really sell very many of them, but they had this great operating system, essentially. Apple went, okay, well, we'll buy that. And it became OS, it became OS X/10. Officially it is OS 10, but of course everyone calls it OS X. We've had some emails. Let's not get into that.
I think also, to be fair, at that point it would have been OS 7 or 9.
The stuff that Steve Jobs developed when he left Apple became OS 10, because OS 10 was the OS that worked on Intel, and his stuff worked on Intel. That was the reasoning.
I am not sure that is correct,
that
Mr.
is correct.
Maudsley.
That is correct. It was because obviously OS,
I will be looking this up after the show.
OS 10/X was in development long while, you know, all OS 8, 9, blah, blah, blah were being pumped out to work on the old, you know, the G processors.
Was there ever an OS 8 on Apple? We all remember OS 7, I think it's fair to say. And then OS 9, that was on there for a
while. Maybe
there
was no OS 8.
OS X, that's been on there for a while.
10.
Was there no 8? Is
maybe
8 an unlucky
wasn't.
Number in OS circles?
It's a very lucky number in Chinese
circles. These are things that we have to muse on.
Yes, yes. Steve Jobs' letter does bear reading in full.
Does it?
No. But let me get to the chase.
You might want to go and make some Ovaltine at this point.
No, it's not very long.
It's going to be a long night.
No, he basically says...
Take off your coat.
I've always said if there ever comes a day when I could no longer meet my duties and expectations as Apple CEO... I'd be the first to let you know. Unfortunately, that day has come. I mean, it does sound like this is a decision he's made, certainly from the wording anyway. And I don't know.
I think it would
Steve
be
Jobs was pushed out
anyway.
Once. I can't quite I can't see, he's so, you know,
no.
I can't see the man who would go up to him and say, Steve, it's time to leave. You know, this is a decision he's come to himself.
It's definitely his decision, I think. And the whole treatment of it leaving is, you can tell that it's his decision.
Yeah.
The interesting bit I thought was that they, it did appear for a long time they'd lined up the BFG to be his successor. Mm. And he did actually say in the letter that that Apple should execute the succession plan. Typically a sinister Jobsian phrase.
A bit weird.
And that he sort of hoped and expected that Tim Cook would take over as CEO, and which he has.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. It sounds like there's been a plan for a while.
Hmm. Well, there has to be, doesn't it? Yeah. There had to have been a plan.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't.
But no, but it's interesting
because
I think a lot of people thought that Cook was maybe more of a stopgap because he just seems so different. He doesn't, how can I put this? He doesn't seem to have quite the charisma of Steve Jobs. So he doesn't perhaps in that, but then maybe that is the obvious successor to somebody like Jobs is somebody who's much more solid.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I heard someone
say, I've no idea. I'm just talking rubbish. Yeah, I'm just conjecturing about things say, I know nothing about.
Oh, well, you know, Steve Jobs leaving, you know, he was one man. Now, you know, we'll have lots of people and we'll have different angles and expertise coming in at the top and all this kind of thing. I don't know if that's a great thing. You know, decision by committee gets you Weber West, doesn't it?
But I think you get different personalities. Like Jonathan Ive will probably have much more power now to... Mm.
Oh, I don't know. I think somebody like Ive might be thinking about leaving, to be honest.
He's not allowed, I don't think.
He's not allowed. He's kept locked to a radiator like Terry Wake.
The other thing is, I mean, they've said as well, you know, look, we've got 3 years of Jobs stuff to wheel out. So his influence will speak.
Obviously, it's ridiculous to say that Steve Jobs literally sat in an office and came up with everything that Apple did. And
but it's not that far from the truth.
But it'd be a really hard thing for someone to step into Steve Jobs who was like Steve Jobs, because all the comparisons would be, oh, but he's not like Steve Jobs, even though he's trying to be. Whereas Tim Cook is so different.
Yeah,
maybe that's true. Yeah, yeah.
The comparison is not going to be made.
Surely, I mean, Steve Jobs' job at Apple, like, surely mainly was like a kind of bollocks filter, wasn't it? That was basically his job.
Exactly,
like, people would bring him things and he'd go, no, that's shit, go away and do it again. So it wasn't that he was saying, you must do this or you must do that. Pushing things as well, but mainly it was like looking at things and going, no, that's not good enough, or that's just wrong, go away and do it.
Mm. There was a great story, which may or may not be complete bollocks, of when he was shown an iPod and he said, no, that's too thick. And to demonstrate this, he threw it in a fish tank. And when bubbles came out, he said, see, I told you there was air in there. So abrasive
the old fish tank test
works every time.
But I can't see Bill Gates doing that, you know. Very different style.
I can imagine Steve Ballmer doing it. He'd probably throw it through a fish tank.
He'd probably jump in the fish tank though.
He's a beefier guy,
and eat one of the fish. And
he's probably got his own shark tank.
Actually,
I can imagine Jobs having a shark tank for kind of getting rid of employees.
With Bill Gates' face, like, on the shark.
He's like, you have made the iPod too thick. We do not tolerate failure at Apple. Praise the products.
Well, he had
Steve Jobs
When he first came back, he had a really fearsome reputation because he got rid of so many people. Well, you know, the Newton was axed and a load of other projects that he just came in and said, that's a bollocks. He, you know, he slashed all that.
Well, so often in corporate thinking, people can't see the wood for the trees. Mm-hmm. And I could hold up as an example for that, perhaps the idea of HP paying umpteen million dollars for Palm. But, sometimes you have to be abrasive to get things done, don't you? You know, you have to be like Steve Jobs.
But now, of course, he's a saint, so, you know, give it time.
People keep saying he's the rock star of the tech world as well.
Doesn't say a lot for the tech world, does it?
Yeah. So I find
God almighty. I saw a picture. We're doing the coming up in the next issue is the Tech 100, our sort of power list, most powerful people. I'd never seen a photograph of the people who run Rockstar Games before. Dear, oh dear.
Not very Rockstar.
You expect a lot of kind of ugly white men in a kind of Tech 100 type list. And obviously, I'm not speaking as like I'm saying I'm some sort of Adonis myself. But dear, oh dear.
Far from it.
I can see where all their games are so cynical and violent. Put it that way. Bloody hell.
Excellent. Well, there is plenty more where that came from. So let me say, here is the news. Yeah, Yes, RIM's oft-rumoured streaming service, BBM Music, has finally gone official. A $4.99...
RIM streaming.
Yay, a $4.99 subscription allows you to access 50 tracks a month from millions offered by all four major music labels, plus, crucially, all the BBM Music tracks your friends have downloaded. It's currently in closed beta in the UK.
Sources close to RIM say next year's BlackBerry... Says here, sources close to RIM. Shay.
Next year's BlackBerry models. Crazy Dutch news.
Next year's BlackBerry models will be able to run Android apps. RIM confirmed that the playbook would support Android apps earlier this year. Now the two may become Android compatible simultaneously.
Facebook has decided to scrap Facebook Places. After finding that Foursquare was still dominating the market, users will still be able to add locations to statuses. However, the check-in feed has been removed on the site and on the apps.
Sony's planning to overhaul PlayStation Home. It plans to make games the new focus after Sony...
Premature.
Sony is planning to overhaul PlayStation Home. It plans to make games the new focus after Sony noticed it was losing users to social networking sites. It'll also get a new location called The Hub, with games, user-generated content and challenges all built into the design of the building. Expect it later this year.
A Dutch court's awarded Apple an injunction that will see the Samsung Galaxy S2 handset banned from sale in the Netherlands. It follows the recent overruling of the injunction that stopped Samsung selling its Galaxy Tab 10.1 to European markets. Samsung's challenging the decision.
And fret not if you've missed out on the £90 16-gig touchpad. HP's promised to have more available shortly.
I've really got to stop that.
The fire sale prompted massive demand online, described by Dixon's as frankly crazy. The equally discounted 32-gig model is going for £115.
Hey!
I'm so proud of you. That was the best news ever.
That was like a comic relief news. We have to do it with challenges.
Excellent.
Interesting. Anyone managed to get Facebook Places?
Yeah, I know.
Not that interesting, admittedly.
I hated check-in anyway. That was just the worst idea. People used to check you in and you'd be like, don't check me in. I'm trying to, you know.
Check me out. Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now everybody has checked out quite literally of Facebook literally. Places.
How do you literally check out? Like,
in a hotel, you just give your key in.
I think, isn't it because Americans spell check, financial check, as we spell it?
Yeah.
Do they really?
C-H-E-C-K. So yeah, check out was to hand over a check.
Ah.
For the,
so how do they spell it? C-H-E-C-K?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So when you pay a check, it's spelled like that?
Yeah, because otherwise the French might be involved. The Americans would think. If you spelled it in the way that we spell it, it's like, oh, check you. Sounds French.
Ah, I see.
I don't like me no French in my hotel.
Right.
I imagine is what they'd say.
I imagine.
Time to see what you've been tweeting to at T3DOTCOM, Duncan.
Zut alors.
The French.
Well, Raj K. Hemlani says, is Duncan Bell, you misspelled my name, mate, still in HK, wouldn't mind meeting him and taking him out for a drink.
Yeah, that's been an offer.
No, I'm not.
Sadly.
But thank you. Thank you very much, Raj.
It's nice to know the next time you're in Hong Kong.
Booze in Hong Kong is quite expensive, so I could have done with that.
Also, you say you spelt your name wrong. I think you pronounced his name wrong. Raj Kamlan, I imagine. But you said...
His Twitter name is
Did I say Raj Kemlani? K. Hemlani?
Yeah, like you had a middle name starting with K.
It's almost like he preemptively spelt the name wrong just to get that in there.
Okay, I do apologise.
What else have you got?
Is it me again?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I thought you read the script.
Full Circle, Full Circle 360. Says, do you just have one woman working for you guys, as I only ever see the same woman talking on videos on your site, lol?
How is that funny?
That's Ree.
It's me.
It's Ree.
There is another
the one woman at T3.
Two women working for us, but they're on the art.
We've got loads of women at T3. We've got women coming out of our ears.
Dripping with women.
I'll
they're
rephrase
all on
that.
The cover. They all work here, the cover girls. Yeah. They're all here.
Yeah, I was just served tea by one of them. Yeah, yeah. Lovely girl.
Yeah, no, that's why we have them on the cover, because people always say, oh, it's very sexist having a nearly undressed woman on the cover. Oh. All of those women have got PhDs in information computer science.
And let me tell you,
and what they do is they basically decide everything that goes in the mag. Yeah.
It's very hot in this office. Yeah. You know, swimwear is pretty much obligatory.
Yep. I know, I'm in Speedos every other Wednesday.
Yes, I know, yes. I
know. Ree?
I've got one from...
What an image.
Scrumac-Mac?
Scrumac-Mac.
I said with scrum because of the rugby, but I don't know.
It's the Welsh, the Welsh roots.
Why does the podcast without Duncan feel like Mock the Week without Frankie Boyle?
I think that's a compliment.
Yeah.
That's hard. That could mean slightly less shit, depending on where you stand on Frankie Boyle.
Take it as a compliment. Let's move on.
Also on Steve Jobs, Moose speak.
You're like the teacher.
Moose speaks here, says, I heard he was moving to Microsoft.
No,
from
he's
where?
No, he's not. Liam CW63, otherwise known as Liam Castro Wilkins.
It's a name to conjure with, isn't
it? It is a bit. There's a new Android Market out. It's just auto-updated on my phone. It features the ability to plus one things on Google Plus. That's nice.
The days must fly by where he's
really
come from.
reaction to the touchpad fire sale, Dan Quay. I'm very disappointed with Addictions Group. I thought I got lucky with the touchpad, but they just charged my account, so he didn't actually get one. They just took the money.
Oh dear.
It's rather harsh.
I think I'd prefer that.
I'm sure I'll get it back. Daryl J88, otherwise known as, good names this week, Daryl Money.
Mr. Money.
HP touchpad, had one reserved at Amazon only to be told it wouldn't be fulfilled 24 hours later. Too late to do anything about it then. Well, it's not too late because there's more stock coming, so keep an eye out. I had one in my trolley at Staples, on my virtual trolley on the website, and it got me right the way through to the payment, and then it just wouldn't accept the payment because I tried several times.
Like, you don't want to buy this.
My bank froze my card. It was like, it wouldn't let me take it.
All for HP touchpad.
It does show what you have to do if you want to take on the iPad, though.
Like, basically,
all you have to do if you want to beat the iPad is sell your incredibly expensive to make gadget at 90 quid.
Given the hit that HP has taken
piece
on this, if they just sold it at 90 quid from the start, they would now be the market leader and, you know.
I know, exactly.
And they've taken over the world.
There we are.
That's why we do a podcast rather than running, say, the accounts department of a major corporation. Mm-hmm. But,
I'm just waiting for the email to ask me to join.
I'm sure it's there already.
Liam Castro Wilkins is possibly the best name
It's good.
Of all time.
On the Facebook group, lots of people talking about the missing pod. Look, I was in Cartmel, which is in the middle of nowhere. And
internet wasn't great.
Yeah, I sent my portion of the pod, except it didn't arrive. And then it was too late to send it on the Friday. And then everyone left the office. And then
it was all a bit of a nightmare.
So there
was
we
it,
go.
Also, I did listen to it, and was it deliberate that you had the names of people suddenly fading up over your voices?
No.
Okay, because you did.
Okay, good.
I didn't hear that on mine. Maybe.
Maybe you're hearing voices, Duncan.
Maybe.
Maybe I was jet lagged after flying back from Hong Kong. No, I did. Like you suddenly went, you know, like. Your voice suddenly faded up, like almost literally, like it was being sort of like dubbed over, as we say in radio.
In the trade,
and then you're going Liam Castro Wilkins.
No,
not was sure. It just me that heard that?
Not sure that was deliberate. Something may have been lost in the edit there.
Maybe I've got schizophrenia.
Get some Nurofen Plus; it'll sort you out.
Yeah. anyway, in the absence of the pod, lots of people tried out the Wired podcast.
Yeah, they didn't like it though.
Well, one person liked it.
Well. Stop listening to this.
Ooh.
That was the
that's the one person liking it. Yeah. Yes, it was very good.
That's everyone who listens to that podcast. Listens to our podcast, rather. Texting him. No, I liked it. Yeah. What are you saying? What do you mean they went and listened to the Wired podcast?
Well, desperation, you know?
You would have to be pretty desperate.
You would, really. Yeah. Now then, what have we got for our gadget of the week?
This week, it is the Nikon Coolpix AW100 Tough Camera. It's the first tough camera from Nikon, and I went to see it on Wednesday.
Right.
It's pretty impressive, actually. I quite like tough gadgets. I just like the fact that
I like my gadgets the way I like my men.
Rough and ready.
Yeah.
In a cardboard box.
With camouflage on.
With instructions.
Wrapped in bubble wrap.
We could go on at this for hours.
Anyway. So the main, it's the first one from Nikon that's meant to for the stuntman. So yeah, you can drop it.
Hello?
That's how they're selling it. I'm just saying.
It's for stuntmen. Is it for the mad stuntmen who did the vocals on Reel to Reel's I Like to Move It?
Exactly.
Good.
I don't know if he was either mad or a stuntman.
So how tough?
He did claim to be.
How tough is the tough cam?
It can survive depths of up to 10 meters. Now, do you know how deep 10 meters is?
It's pretty deep. It's about 10 meters, isn't it?
10 meters. Do you know what? That's three times the depth of the deep end of a swimming pool.
Wow.
And that's twice the depth of an Olympic diving pool.
No way.
That's how deep it is.
Wow.
Shit.
So if I was a particularly fat diver, I could shoot the water as I was diving towards it without fear of the camera breaking.
It's good.
You could, yeah.
It's good, actually.
Then you can drop it from a metre and a half. That's the height of Ronnie Corbett.
You know when they do these... That's the height of Ronnie Corbett.
Fact. And it's freeze-proof to minus 10.
What, in case you leave it in the freezer?
Yeah.
Minus 10. Do they have a statistic for
that's
that?
That's not a freezer. The freezer. No, I made the
how
statistics.
Cold, how cold?
I've done my research. Yeah. These are mine.
Okay, so what's the freezer one? How cold is minus 10?
It can't go in a freezer because a freezer is minus 15 minimum. So it can go in your fridge.
My fridge is nowhere near minus 10.
It's plus 5, normally.
Mm. Minus 10.
It can't survive.
My Samsung fridge has a little digital display. This is how I know these things.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can't put it in a freezer. No. What kind of tough cum is that?
You could take it outside on quite a cold day.
Yeah, that's good to know.
But it wouldn't survive the coldest day in Britain ever.
Mm. How cold was
that? I don't know, but I remember it was too cold for the camera.
Okay.
So it's very tough. We've established
it's
that.
Very
is
tough.
It nice as an actual camera?
It is very nice as an actual camera. It's got a really good like global map on there, so you can like check out a map. It's got...
What?
Yeah, it's always, always a good feature on a camera.
Just to check out where you are when you're taking that picture.
Has it got GPS?
Yeah, it's got GPS on it.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense now. Okay.
Yeah, because nobody carries around devices that have GPS on them, do they?
Well, yeah, but you could geotag your pictures.
Yeah.
It automatically geotags them.
And you can also
do that.
So you know where your picture was taken.
I'd
know anyway.
Well, you know, you go on holiday, you take a picture in Torremolinos.
If there's loads of Chinese people, it's like, oh, well, that was Hong Kong, you know.
Yeah.
If it's me looking drunk, well, that could be anywhere.
Exactly, you see, drunken nights.
And you won't remember where you were, so.
Yeah.
It's also got this quite...
That's the use.
I could have a few gaps filled in if I just had a geotagging camera.
Damn it. It's also got this feature where you can, it's got motion sensor, so you can kind of flick through the menus without, because if you've got big gloves on as stuntman.
That sounds like a gimmick.
It's a bit gimmicky.
That sounds like a gimmick.
It is a bit gimmicky.
So they've justified that with if you've got big gloves
on. Big gloves on, you can't touch the screen.
But you wouldn't be able to take a picture anyway if you had big gloves on.
Yeah, because you've got a massive button.
Is it massive?
Massive.
It's massive, man.
Massive, man.
Right, okay, good.
But yeah, it's a good camera. It's not the most good looking camera. But
it's interesting looking though, isn't it?
Yeah,
they have slightly deviated from the tough cam norm.
Mm.
It's not
chunky,
a thing of beauty.
It's not massive.
Okay.
It's just
you know what? We're in danger of actually having a half decent gadget of the week.
Thank you.
Wow. Review.
I'll
ready?
Take my leave.
Yes, you can go now.
A video is up already, and a review in a couple of weeks.
Good. Not a lot of time left, but quickly, returning to our top story, I'd just like to ask you two, really, what you think Steve Jobs' greatest contribution has been? Where do you start?
I think, in a way, the way T3 and T3.com are now, and the way the fact that gadgets are a mainstream thing...
Mm.
I think basically the fact that we're in work
that's true.
Could like 9-10 because T3 was going before Apple really hit their kind of golden phase.
Yeah.
But T3 was very different in those days. Maybe a bit less slick.
Yeah, we used to
maybe had slightly less stylish people working for it than ourselves. But
we do in-depth reviews of DVD players and things like that.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think he's made the idea of firstly the iPhone has basically rendered any number of other gadgets redundant. And every single phone that you see now is basically based on the iPhone. I don't care what anybody says about.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I think above all, he and Apple are responsible for gadgets being on the front page of newspapers, being on, you know, being something that people buzz about, being just a massive part of popular culture. I think that's, in a way, that's kind of a lame thing.
Mm.
But as I make a living out of it, I'm more than happy to go along with it. So I say thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
Thank you for the music.
I can't say more than that.
Yeah.
That's just as well, because that was such a long answer.
Yeah.
I think
I
was
like
trying to be
more,
pithy, but I failed.
Yeah, it was good.
for me, the original Macintosh kind of just embodies it all, because it was a massive, massive gamble that he took, and he produced a computer that that actually was a computer that people could use, could relate to, and he was thinking about the consumer, and that's what he's done all the way throughout. And you take his next big landmark product after that, which is after he rejoined Apple, which was the iMac. And just, I mean, can you remember how computers looked before the iMac?
They were like beige.
It was, suddenly, just things, that was the first product that he, where the aesthetics really showed through. And then it's been that way ever since, and not only with aesthetics, but also just, groundbreaking products, just thinking about how people are going to use them.
And also apps. You can't forget about apps. That was huge. The fact that, iPhone, but that's a whole new, category of stuff that you never have before.
When the iPhone launched, it was pretty big, but it didn't go huge until apps came on the scene. And,
I know other companies like Nokia did stuff before,
apps before the iPhone they were rubbish.
Like, basically, that was it. Publishing stuff. I think what they've done really well, and people, you can say, well, they're geniuses, or you can say they're evil geniuses, but it doesn't really matter. It's what they do is they look at what other people have done a lot of the time. They seldom come up with completely new
ideas.
Nothing
original about the iPod.
They look at what other people have done and they go, okay, what's wrong with this? How could it be improved? And then they go, wait, how do we take it to the next level? And what they've done with the iTunes ecosystem, whatever you want to call it, the reason that apps were so successful was because, obviously people had sold little bits of software before, but with Apple made it so you could buy everything immediately have it on the device that you had bought it from. It was like a painless process doing so. And it just, and then when the next iteration of the phone came out, the apps would still work, to an extent at any rate, on both the new one and the old one. It was like, it was a platform that carried on. They weren't reinventing the wheel every single time.
Right, well, Mr. Steve Jobs, we do salute you. I don't want to sound, this shouldn't sound too much like an obituary, okay? The man is still alive, he's alive and kicking, and we really wish him well, actually, and hope, I don't know, that stepping down will give him a bit of time to recuperate, we hope, and, I really hope that this announcement is something along the lines of, it's time for him to step down, and not that it has been brought about by anything that's happened to him. Anyway, that is about all for this week. Remember, teether.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves and on the iPad, and we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, then. I've been Dan Maud.